The sermon is entitled, Born of the Spirit. You know you're growing old when almost everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. You keep repeating yourself. You have too much room in the house and not enough room in the medicine cabinet. Now this is my favorite. You would like to have Walter Cronkite back as the anchor for the evening news. I'm there. Definitely. Your doctor is just old enough to be your granddaughter. And you keep repeating yourself. Your little black book contains lots of names, all of which end in M.D. You light the candles on your birthday cake and a group of campers form a circle and sing Kumbaya. The lastly, your new easy chair has more options than your car. So I am celebrating my birthday this week and I can truly identify with this list. 62 years and I'm very thankful. I'm never ashamed to say how old. I'm very thankful for every year. But how did this happen? Where did the time go? Marketers say that baby boomers do not want to be called senior adults or referred to as old. They prefer the term mature adults. But whatever you call us, the years do not lie. They tell the story of a life lived for a long time. The religious leader Nicodemus was an educated and very devout man of faith. He belonged to the Pharisees, which were a powerful and influential group in the Jewish community. We don't know how old he was, but he was an adult. He came to Jesus asking some questions. He was curious. All kinds of rumors were going around about this man called Jesus. Jesus was not a Pharisee, yet he was leading people to faith in God. So who gave him such authority? Was he real or was he a phony? Nicodemus approached Jesus with some skepticism. He wasn't so sure about Jesus' motivation or nature. But one thing I admire about Nicodemus is that he came to check Jesus out in person. He wanted a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. He came to see Jesus at night, which most people through the years have interpreted to mean he did not want it known publicly that he, a Pharisee, was associating with Jesus, this radical newcomer. However, Nicodemus did get up the courage to go and meet Jesus himself. He also showed Jesus respect by calling him rabbi, which means teacher. And Nicodemus stated that he did believe that Jesus came from God because of the miracles that Jesus had performed. In the Gospel of John, miracles are referred to as signs, because these are actions that point people to God. Nicodemus, though, was still confused and wanting to investigate and check out Jesus. He was seeking. He wanted to learn more. He wanted to grow in his faith and understanding. At least Nicodemus was open to exploring some new ideas about God, even if he didn't completely understand what Jesus was trying to teach him. Sometimes we grow up in a certain church or denomination, and we think we have God all figured out. We trust in our church traditions, and we close our minds to any other ways of thinking or believing or acting or worshiping within the Christian faith. Some of us were even taught as children that we should never question anything regarding our faith, and especially don't question God. However, none of us can totally comprehend or explain the divine adequately. I think questions are good. I encourage children and adults alike to ask questions about your faith and about life in general. How else can we learn and grow if we never question? Questions also indicate a yearning to know more, to understand our faith. No one knows everything. It's good to seek God face to face, to explore our faith, know what we believe and why we believe it. Jesus was always perceptive. He immediately began to engage Nicodemus in a spiritual conversation. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." The word translated as "from above" can also mean again, born again, or born anew. So Nicodemus was taking Jesus very literally. He asked, how is it possible for a mature adult to be born again? You go back to your mother's womb, how would that work? Nicodemus is only thinking about physical birth. Jesus is talking about the physical birth and the spiritual birth. Jesus says you must have both. Life is more than just eating, drinking, working, getting up in the morning and repeating the same thing over and over. Life is about having a relationship with God, our Creator, and having an abundant and purposeful life. Being born of the Spirit is a gift that comes to us from God by grace. We don't earn this gift. We just receive the gift of God's Spirit. And Jesus teaches that the Holy Spirit is powerful. It can transform any human life from where it is now to realizing the full potential of what God wants you to become. The Apostle Paul teaches that in Christ we become a new creation. Born anew, born from above, born again. When we are born spiritually in our relationship with Christ, we develop different priorities. Our lives change. We want to do God's will. We want to serve God faithfully with love and honor. We care about the well-being of others in our community because God first loved us. We spend time in worship on a Sunday when we could be out doing something else. We spend time in prayer daily. We do Bible study. We serve in mission to bless others in the way that God leads us to serve. If we're only born in the flesh, we only care about ourselves. We can be very selfish creatures, me and mine, just surviving. But as Christians, we belong first to the Lord and to a community of faith that extends beyond just me and mine. Our actions impact and touch others, either positively or negatively. And other Christians have a great influence and impact on us and the way that we live. I am so grateful for the wonderful mentors, clergy and laity, that have mentored me at different points in my life. Nicodemus was not sure exactly what Jesus was meaning, but he was listening. Jesus began to compare the Holy Spirit to the wind. And in the Old Testament, the word for spirit is wind or breath. As we have been anticipating the arrival of Alberto that has now taken a different turn, I know at my house I've been contemplating the wind. They were saying at 1.60 miles an hour. I remember Tropical Storm Cindy when it came years ago to New Orleans. Tropical storm, no big deal. Well, it was a big deal. electric lines down, trees on top of houses, cars can be blown around. Combine that with water, they're talking maybe 15 inches of rain. Strong winds. We cannot predict where they're going to blow, Jesus says. We can hear the wind blowing, and we can see the branches of the trees responding, but we do not see the wind. That doesn't mean the wind is not real because we cannot see it. We only see the effects of the wind. So Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus that when we're born from above, from God, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit can have a powerful effect in our lives. The Holy Spirit will lead us to places we never expected to go. The Holy Spirit can lead us to serving and working in jobs in the church and the community that we never thought possible. Many of you have met our dear brother, Dr. Kipasa, from Africa. As I was studying for the sermon, I ran across a story in one of Tony Kampala's books about Dr. Daniel Fountain, who was Dr. Kipasa's mentor, and they worked together for like 30 years in the hospital in Africa. And all that time, I never knew that Dr. Fountain's story was told in this book by Tony Kampala, and that I have heard millions of stories about Dr. Daniel Fountain for 20-something years, knowing Dr. Anise Kipasa. And I thought, wow, what a world. What a world. I can't wait until I see Kipasa again and show him this chapter in this book about Dr. Fountain. But going places that we never thought possible. The first time I visited a jail was in Charleston, South Carolina. Our college had a puppet team ministry, our campus ministry, and we were asked to go and lead a worship service in the city jail. At that time, I was young. I wasn't afraid. We had our campus minister. We had a team of people. It was wonderful. Then when I was in seminary, I went to the prison in Columbia, South Carolina, with a missionary that I was working with, to put on a special day for the women inmates and their families. It was like we had all kinds of outdoor games. We had picnics. There were many churches across Columbia who did this together for the women at that prison once a year. I served in a prison ministry in St. Mary Parish in Morgan City. I'm serving in a prison ministry now in Plaquemine Parish at Dave Ant Correctional Center. I've served with the Louisiana Kairos Ministry, and if you ever get an opportunity, they keep asking me, Reverend Becky, when are you going to have us come tell your people about Kairos Ministry? We want to come, and we just got to schedule it because they want to come. It's clergy and laity working together with family members of those who are incarcerated. Every time I've gone into a prison ministry, I have been more blessed than the people that I met in that prison. When we follow Jesus into the most unexpected places, we are usually the ones who receive the greatest blessing by serving others. It may be your calling is to teach vacation Bible school, and maybe you've never taught Bible school before, but maybe the Holy Spirit is urging you to let the wind blow you to Vacation Bible School, to those beautiful children that we welcome. Whatever it is, listen to the Spirit's urging within your soul. Nicodemus had questions, even after his conversation with Jesus. How can these things be? He asked Jesus. It's the same question that Mary, the mother of Jesus, asked the angel Gabriel when he came and told her she had been chosen by God to be the mother of the Savior of the world. How can this be? She asked. I'm a virgin. You're telling me I'm going to have a child? We can all identify with this question. How, God, would you choose me to do your work in this world? Well, we don't always know the answer to that, but we know that God needs us. God does things God's way, and God calls all of us who have received the Holy Spirit to minister, to serve, to work in God's vineyard. We cannot explain it or always comprehend it. We just have to trust that God leads us through the Spirit in the direction that God sees best. We just have to be willing to say, "Here I am, Lord. I am your willing servant." At the end of this conversation, Nicodemus leaves. We don't know at this point if Nicodemus is born from above or not. But later in John's Gospel, Nicodemus speaks up to defend Jesus to the other Pharisees. It's no longer hidden in the night. He stands up publicly in broad daylight and defends Jesus. And then, after Jesus died, Nicodemus and Joseph go to Pontius Pilate to ask that they receive his body, anoint him with oil, as was their burial custom, and place him lovingly in a tomb. Those actions required courage, and they required love and devotion. None of Jesus' disciples were there. They weren't brave enough to go ask Pontius, who had just given the execution order, if they could receive Jesus' body for burial. But Nicodemus did. The message that Jesus came to proclaim was that God so loved the world, God cared so much that he sent Jesus to redeem us. So trusting in God, receiving God's forgiveness, all of us have the opportunity to be born anew, to live eternally in the love and the presence of God. Being born of the Spirit, in my life experience, is the best possible way to live. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, the songwriter proclaims. We can come to him in the day, in the night. It doesn't matter when. We can come to him with all of our questions. No question is too big or too bad for God to handle. We can come seeking God face to face as we search for answers and meaning. And we can believe in the love that Jesus has to offer us. He didn't have anything to gain by dying on a cross. He gave it all. That is sacrificial love. Now is the day of salvation. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise and thanksgiving be to God that we can be born of the Spirit. Amen.